I don't see Candace here this morning, so.
She won't be here this morning.
Okay. We didn't get a call, so we didn't hear anything, but that's all right. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. You are good. You are mighty. You are powerful in our lives. The bringing forth of your truth and your power in our lives to work out your will through us, through the Holy Spirit that work in us. It is the Holy Spirit that work in us that brings about the will of God. And we pray that will of God. We say, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven?
Good.
Quick and complete, right? Quick and complete. His will is done in heaven quickly and completely. We want it done here on earth. Quickly and completely, right? So we have to pray that in our lives. And then we can pray it over the whole earth. Amen? That's good. That's good. You know, in heaven, there's no sickness. No. There's no disease. There's no disability. Well, we ought to pray that down here on earth, right?
Yeah.
We want his will up there done down here. Amen?
We've That's died right. to disease.
I'm sorry?
We have died to disease.
Yeah. That's an interesting way of putting it. I haven't heard that before. That's good, though. Okay. Time for your pop quiz. See if you did your homework. Y'all remember your homework? All right. So we're going to talk about your favorite verses or whatever verses y'all came up with about love. Now, that's not a hard assignment, right? I mean, y'all will be able to find something about love in the Bible, I tell you. It's just, wow, I've made a short list here. But you could do a whole lot more than that. So, we got a good start on it here. We love him because he first loved us. Well, yeah, I was going to get somebody to say that. That's good. Okay, so somebody find a verse. Anyone want to start? Give me a. Okay, David?
3:16. I believe that's the best of them, and that what? Makes man without excuse.
John 3:16. Okay. You'll read it or recite it.
God's love the world that he gave his own begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life.
That's good. That's good. That word perish, I was looking up something else this morning. Mm-hmm. And that word perish in there means total destruction. Total destruction. Okay? And that Greek word that he used there was not like die. Okay? It was like total destruction. Alright? So, because I was wondering about that, you know, he was talking about people perishing. We don't perish. And so, people may die on earth, physically die. Right? Our bodies may die, but we don't perish. We don't perish. We have eternal life. And we will eventually be resurrected. Yeah. Our bodies will be resurrected, just like Jesus' body was resurrected. We will also be resurrected, so that our bodies may not perish. We will not perish. Okay? That's good. Someone else?
Romans 5:5.
Romans 5:5. All right. Okay. You want to read that for us, or?
For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's not just one little narrow place. All over our hearts, right? And who was the person that who's responsible for getting that done?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's key to Christianity. It's key, it's foundational. Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is key, it's foundational for us.
It's sad that 80% of the churches don't preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speak about it at all, really. Not like we do.
Not like we do, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a lot of churches that kind of stress prayer, Bible study, and discipleship, and you know, right behavior. But without the Holy Spirit, you know, people just get frustrated, all right? They don't have any power. That's good. That's great. Thank you, Mary. Someone else?
Mine's in 1 Peter.
1 Peter.
And it's in the middle of a long run-on sentence, but I'm focusing on verse 22.
1 Peter what chapter?
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1 mm-hmm. and verse 22?
Yeah, I'm going to focus on that.
Verse 22, okay.
This is a long run-on sentence, so verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. And I love that word, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Okay, all right. That's kind of interesting. I'm not sure I spelled that right. Supposed to be I before E, except after C, right? Is that right?
It's EI.
It is EI. Okay, well, I did have it right. Okay, I'm saying love and a pure heart.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. So, what is unfeigned love? You said you like that. Tell us what it is.
It's true love. It's not fake. It's
not fake.
It's true love, real love, God's love, agape love.
Okay.
It's you're thinking what you can do for that person rather than you saying, I love you, and you're figuring out what they can do for you.
I love them because of what they can do for me, or I can love them because of what I can do for them. Boom, that's good. I like that.
I saw a t-shirt in Los Angeles says, money won't buy you love, but it'll buy you something so close to it you won't know the difference. But we know the difference.
There is a big difference. There you understand some of these rich people that have a lot of money, but
not to the world. It's
not, they're not very
they
happy.
Can't, yeah, they can't tell. Mine is Galatians 5:13.
Okay, Galatians 5:13.
This is from the Passion Translation. It says, freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do.
Whoa.
That's good.
That is good. I like
love
that.
In all
very good.
We do.
Right. Okay. Read that again. I want to hear that again now.
Okay. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do.
Okay, I like that. Let's see. I like that. Servants.
Free of self-indulgence.
One another.
Servants. Expressing love in all we do.
That's good. That's really good.
My old pastor used to say, he says, the Ten Commandments were undone with love. He says, I love my wife so I don't steal from her. I love my wife so I don't kill her. I love my wife so I don't cheat on her. He was just saying that love will keep you from doing any of those things, the thou shalt nots. Mm-hmm. He was saying it encompasses everything.
Yeah.
With the love of God, you just don't want to.
You know, that's what he said once. He says, I drink all the liquor I want to. He said, I don't want to.
Right. I like that. Servants of one another. Do we think of ourselves as servants of other people? Yeah. Do we think of ourselves when we wake up in the morning, oh, what am I going to do today? We always think, oh, what am I going to do today that's fun? What am I going to do today that's, you know, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to wear today? Da, 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 da. We think, oh, who am I going to serve today? What am I going to do for them? there's a switch. Yeah. I need to work on that one.
There's another part of the scripture further down that says,
sure.
As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self life. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self life from dominating you. It's Him that's, as Joyce Meyer says, caution, don't do that. Proceed with fear.
Yeah.
Hold back. She was saying he's like that policeman. Like, no, you don't want to really do that, do you?
You want to sow to the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because if you sow to the Spirit, what's going to happen?
Reap from the Spirit.
You're going to reap from the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And like she says, you're not going to want to do non-spiritual things, right?
Or walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill
the
lust of the flesh.
Another way of saying it. Yeah, that's even better. I like that. So we walk in the Spirit. We sow to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We focus on spiritual things, the things of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that what?
We'll be more like Him.
Yeah.
I just can't say that. We can walk in love.
Yeah. Whenever I would fail or come close to failing, I had a thought that wasn't God's. I said, Lord, I'm going to kill that. Let's kill it.
Kill it now.
And I learned something. Anything that's not God, you can kill it out of your life. You can drive that Philistine out. It can be done. And when you focus on the love of God, it's easy. You can be content without it and glad you're free from it.
There you go.
Works for chocolate too, just saying.
When I learned to confess,
I was a serious chocolate girl. I would get up in the middle of the night and go get chocolate.
You're looking for chocolate, oh, wow. That's serious.
That's serious, monkey on the back.
Charles Kemp said, it won't just happen a couple of times. Because you say it, but saying it is involved in
working.
I would think of confessions. I say, I crave what I need the most. Do it the easy way. And some of your cravings will leave. You know, I used to eat a lot of sweets. They still crack on me. They still remember all the sweets I would eat. But I eat more fruit and I eat a smaller amount of sweets. I just don't want it like I used to. But I kept saying that.
See, he gets the chocolate thing, don't you?
You know, it can be a lot of sweets on the table. I might get one or two if I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, I used to get four or five.
Right.
They'll call for you in the night. Deborah. And you're in the refrigerator.
Well, you know, you got to get to the place, I guess, where you wake up in the middle of the night because the Lord woke you up to show you something from the Word. So you get up and you go into prayer, you go into the Bible, and the Lord shows you something, you know. And that's cool. That's cool. I don't know why this jumped in my mind, but I woke up in the middle of the night. Oh, by goodness, it was back in the 80s, late 80s, I guess. And the Lord had me go downstairs. I started reading. I was reading the Psalms. What am I doing? You know, in the middle of the night, I'm reading in Psalms. What am I reading? You know, and I came across a passage, and David was saying, you know, do all these things to the enemy, confuse it, you know, so the enemy can't attack, can't have an effective attack, confuse it. And that was when I realized the next day, when I, you know, that morning when I woke up, it was at that moment that 100-hour war started, that first Middle East conflict, wow. You know, started over there with the older Bush, started that over there. So he woke me up to tell me to pray that over that. I thought, wow, cool.
Yeah.
You got anything on Bob you want to share?
Mark 12:33.
Which one?
Mark 12:33.
It's just the other, there's so many, but. Love him with all thy heart and with all thy understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and love. This is sort of in the middle of a sentence. Love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Greatest two commandments. That's great. Wouldn't have been complete without that. Appreciate you bringing that up. That's the two greatest commandments, Jesus said. Two greatest commandments right there. Love God and love your neighbor. Wow. More than all burnt offerings and sacrifices and all that stuff. All the, you know. Yeah, burnt offerings and sacrifices are things that we give to God. Right? These are things we give to God. Actually, it turns out that a lot of the sacrifices that they made, the burnt offerings and stuff, there were two kinds of burnt offerings. There was a burnt offering where everything was consumed by fire. And then there was a second kind where the meat itself was consumed by the priest and me. Or the offerer, okay? So there's two kinds of burnt offerings. One of them, you put the meat on there and you just, the fire was hot and you just let it completely consume the meat. And this is what I always thought when I read, you know, when I heard it first when I was a young boy, heard about, man, I'm going to burn up the meat. Wow. This is, you know, that's something. And then later when I get a little bit older and I actually started reading the verses, I found out that a lot of the burnt offerings were actually barbecued. They were barbecues. And they would, the meat then would be shared between the priest and the person offering it. You know, once you got it nice, the priests were the barbecue chefs. And they would barbecue it, and then they would take a portion, but the most portion would go back to you, and you'd take it back, share it with your family and friends and stuff. So that was kind of interesting. But they loved giving sacrifices to God, giving 10%, you know. Because once they had given that, the rest of it's fine. I give God his 10%, I give him his offering, I give him all this, the rest of it is mine. Right? So that's what Jesus came to straighten out. Look, this is where we are, right here. Love God and your neighbor. Be a servant, right here.
Yeah.
Be a servant, you know. This, right here. Forget this.
Yeah.
And love others. Spend your time loving others. I like that.
When you act on those things, the revelation always comes with it. When you act on God's love, insights come with it. Start seeing things you didn't see.
You know, sometimes it works like this, following up on what you just said, okay? You love and sometimes you'll see things, right? When you love someone, you think, how can I help that person? What can I do to minister to that person? What is it they need? All right, well, okay, they need such and such, all right? Well, I don't know how to do such and such. So, what do? If you don't know how to do such and such, do what Thurston does. You go ask God. I love that. I go ask God, I don't know how to do this. How do I do this, God? You go and ask God, how do I do this? How can I help this person? And I don't know how to help them. So, how can I help them? And God will
supply
you. Yeah, it'll supply what you need to help them. He'll give you the insight into how do you actually meet that need. Right? And he actually may give you a deeper insight into what they actually need.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's simple things, too. I had a shelf coming off the wall, and I said, I want to pay someone $50 to come over here. So he said, Deborah, just go in the garage and find a 2x4 or a slat from a bed and put it under the shelf so that the it will go back against the wall. Yeah. And he said, man, glue around, it'll stick. And it stuck. Because I couldn't hold it up. And